You guys understand how this works? We can take some questions if you have questions on this one.
The water that you want to mix with the seawater at the end of that process is fresh water, I think.
Well, it's water that came from the air.
Right.
So yes, it's a question.
Fresh water with the salt water and discharging that back into the ocean. Is that right?
Yes.
Is it enough to cause a problem?
The DEP, we had to have a pre-application meeting with them. We explained to them that that Dragon generates, they're discharging 113,000 gallons per day here and 300 gallons per day here. And they don't appear to be concerned. It's really not a lot of water.
So it's really not too much. That would be a problem with seawater.
Clean runoff, the storm water from the streets all goes into the ocean. There's a lot of fresh water that is always mixed in with seawater.
And I just want to add to that, we discharge 300 gallons per barge loading event. So it's not per day. We're not doing it every day. It's whenever we load a barge. We typically load one, maybe two barges a week. So on average, it's 300 gallons per week. But it's not per day.
It's a 24-hour period for us to load the barge. That's what we're calling it a day.
You said that this was the whole licensing was being required because of the temperature issue. What have you actually done? Any studies to see what your ocean temperature is before and after discharge?
Not the ocean temperature, but the discharge temperature of the seawater that's being discharged. We have done those measurements, and I have them here on the graph.
So in essence, what you start out with is the ocean temperature.
In essence, you start out with the ocean temperature. The ocean temperature this time of year is around 50. Can be anywhere from 50 to 60 degrees Fahrenheit. And intake, these are, over the last few weeks, this is a graph of it, and the bottom, this is 40 degrees Fahrenheit, they're 5-degree increments in Fahrenheit, so 40, 45, 50, 55. And so we have intake and discharge temperatures, and they're typically anywhere from 0.5 to 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit.
You said that right now you're not you're removing
the condensate doesn't get discharged now, just the seawater.
Right. So why can't you continue to do that?
Well, I can speak to that. In order, what we do with that water is we bring it back to the plant and process it there, which we are licensed to do under our air emissions permit. It's not an easy task to do. We load 300-gallon totes. It requires extra man hours. It requires trucking. And we, corporate, have decided that we would rather forego that and go with a discharge permit.
But this way, it guarantees that there's no oil.
Let me talk about what the concentrations are and the quantities of oil that we're talking about too, because
at the end there, where you have that last process, where you mentioned you check it and you monitor.
Yep.
Its condition.
Yeah, I have
what
some data.
What is the
contaminant
of that final?
What's the concentration of the final discharge? Yeah. Let's I'll show you. Well, you're not going to be able to see my data. Let me talk about it on the slide. Okay. So some of the information that you need. The only oil that we're talking about, the only source of oil, is from these three compressors.
And is oil the only contaminant at that point?
And oil is the only contaminant. Anything else that comes from
oil and water there?
Oil and water.
Okay.
And that's it. So these three compressors, for a single barge offloading, use about 3 gallons of oil.
In a 24-hour period, it's 3 gallons of oil.
And it's the oil is a synthetic oil, and the compressors, the oil has been selected because it actually it likes to separate out from water really well. So Dragon's careful about what kind of oil they use in the compressors, and it's good at being separated. Separators. So 3 gallons initially. About 15% of it actually continues on in the air and in the cement and gets discharged out here. And that's about 0.45 of the 3 gallons, a little under half of the 3 gallons. The rest of it,
It goes into the product.
It's, you know, it's not 100% efficient as far as oil removal, so some of it continues.
So some of it continues. So the other 2.5 gallons end up coming out here, in this oily water, with the water that comes out of solution, or comes out of the air, with the moisture that's in the air, and into this condensate. So the 2.5 gallons ends up going through this demixer and down in through the oil skimmer. So every time they do a barge offload, they're generating about two and a half gallons worth of oil. The sampling and analysis that we did over here showed that the concentration was 60 to 65 milligrams per liter. And when you do the math, that's about a total of about 3 grams of oil for a single barge offload. So 3 grams of oil is what we're talking about. And you did the math on drifts, and it's 100.
Yeah.
It has a drift rate on this.
Yeah.
3 grams, I believe, was about 100 drifts.
Yeah, there are 33 drops per gram. So it would be approximately 100 drops of oil in 3 grams, approximately. So if you look at that in a 24-hour period, that would be 4 drops an hour. 4 drops of oil going into the condensate that mixes with the CMR.
And the rest of it's collected in the drum, or stays in the air, and goes with the cement and gets made into concrete eventually.
So over a period of time, on the synthetic oil, what is the impact to our environment? Where we have 25 years to clean this beach up, we finally got it cleaned, and now you guys want to come in and do this to us. I hope we're not missing something. Just so you guys can make more money. And now, I want my second generation of children to raise, and now they're not going to use the beach either, because after a period of time, if your maintenance crews do not keep those filters clean, and it is not snug tight on what you need to be doing, we are going to suffer.
Well, the DEP does a pretty good job enforcing their discharge permits. They keep a pretty close eye on people.
But that's not us. We have to live here. We do live here. We pay the taxes to clean up the beach. You people are based in Thomaston. You are doing this. You have been doing it another way all this time, and now you're going to impose this on us. I don't think it's a fair situation, but that's just my opinion.
Once you fill up the 55-gallon drum, can you use that oil again?
No, it's actually stored in a secondary containment where it sits. It's a larger tank that it sits in, and we haul those drums back to the plant, process them in our waste store.
Are you going to be adding any noise pollution with this at all? Have you looked into that?
There's nothing going to be added. There shouldn't be any impact.
Locomotives and everything make plenty of noise now, but is this going to add anything to it?
No.
You don't find any immeasurable.
The loudest source of noise would be the pump.
How about more dust? There's a lot you guys could be doing on the dust situation. We have people peeling out of that driveway that you have. It's all sand. It's not paved. And there's dust. On my railing, I'm right across the street from you. And I put my hand across, and I get plaque all over my hand. Now, that's not from the road. That's from your plant. So what I'm wondering is, what can you do to go ahead and, you know, there's ways of doing that. You can go ahead and spray that gravel access way, or you can pave it. I know it's nothing to do with this, but I thought I'd bring it up since you're all here. It's an environmental issue. We have to breathe that stuff. And it's something that you can fix without having to spend a whole lot of money. Can you address that?
Yeah, we certainly can bring it back. You know,
I've got people peeling out of that driveway, clouds of dust all over the place. It's just constant. And if that was paved, it would eliminate probably, I would say, 50% or more of the dust from it. The rest of it's cement. The other thing is, those rail cars, can't they be washed? Take a little pride in what you're doing. You're covered with cement.
As to the washing of the rail cars, we're actually actively working with the DEP right now to come up with the proper way to do that without any adverse environmental impacts. So it's in the works right now.
You have to be careful where you do have to be careful. So
yes, this actually cleaning the rail cars involves three different departments of the bureau. You got solid waste, water bureau, and stormwater. So.
We'd have half our tax money. We could eliminate half these deliveries. So everybody's
we're going to try to stay on it.
It has to be reviewed by all three bureaus.
That's just a concern of mine.
No, it's
looks like it looks bad, and it's something that you know could help remove some of that dust. Because that particulate's in the air. We're breathing it. And I live there. And so do your employees.
Yep.
Another thing you may want to look at on the environmental side is... I saw a guy working all afternoon with a jackhammer on the top of one of those cars. No ear protection at all. So somebody's got to be looking at this stuff. That's just one example of many that I've seen. And I'm not an OSHA guy, okay? I just know common sense. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's not watching carefully, just let you know.
Just to respect everybody's time, let's try to stay on this topic and afterwards.